Christ, the Early Christians, Fox's Book of Martyrs, Chapter 1. The early Christians, Christ our Savior, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, hearing the confession of Simon Peter, who was first of all others openly acknowledged him to be the Son of God, and perceiving the secret hand of his Father, thereupon called him upon this rock, meaning, and in this reference, I disagree with Fox, because he came out of the Catholic system, upon which rock he would build his church. The rock that Jesus was revealing here is him. He, Yeshua, was the rock, and he would build his church so strong that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. In which words, three things are to be against it. In which three things are to be noted. First, that Christ will have a church in this world. Secondly, that the same church should mightily be impugned. Impugned, that's a strange old word. Impugned, not only by the world, but also by the uttermost strength and powers of all hell. And also, thirdly, that the same church, notwithstanding the uttermost of the devil and all his malice, should continue. Which prophecy of Christ we see wonderfully to be verified, insomuch that the whole course of the church to this day may seem nothing else but a verifying of the said prophecy. First, that Christ has set up a church needs no declaration. Secondly, which force of princes, kings, monarchs, governors, and rulers of this world, with their subjects, publicly and privately, with all their strength and cunning, have bent themselves against this church. And thirdly, how the said church, notwithstanding, has yet endured and holding its own. What storms and tempests it has overpassed. Wonders it is to behold for the more evident declaration whereof. I have addressed this present history to the end. First, that the wonderful works of God and his church might appear to his glory. Also, that the continuance and proceedings of the church from time to time being set forth, more knowledge and experience may redound thereby to the profit of the reader and edification of Christian faith. At the first preaching of Christ and coming of the gospel, who should rather have known and received him than the Pharisees and scribes of that people which had his law? And yet, who persecuted and rejected him more than they themselves? What followed? They, in refusing Christ to be their king, and choosing rather to be subject unto Caesar, were by the said Caesar at length destroyed. The like example of God's wrathful punishment is to be noted no less in the Romans themselves. For when Tiberius Caesar, having learned by letters from Pontius Pilate of the doings of Christ, of his miracles, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, and how he was received as God of many, himself moved with belief of the same, did confer thereon with the whole Senate of Rome, and proposed to have Christ adored as God. They, not agreeing thereunto, refused him, because that, contrary to the law of the Romans, he was consecrated, said they, for God, before the Senate of Rome, had so decreed and approved him. Thus the vain Senate, being contented with the emperor to reign over them, and not content with the meek King of glory, the Son of God, to be their king, were scourged and entrapped for their unjust refusing by the same way which they themselves did prefer. For as they preferred the emperor and rejected Christ, so the just permission of God did stir up their own emperors against them in such sort that the senators themselves were almost all destroyed, and the whole city most horribly afflicted for the space of almost 300 years. For first the same Tiberius, who for a great part of his reign was a moderate and tolerant prince afterwards, was to them a sharp and heavy tyrant, who neither favored his own mother, nor spared his nephews, nor the princes of the city, such as were his own counselors, of whom being the number of 20, he left not past 2 or 3 alive. Suetonius reproached him to be so stern of nature and tyrannical, that in one day he recorded 20 persons to be drawn to the place of execution. In whose reign, through the just punishment of God, Pilate, under whom Christ was crucified, was apprehended and sent to Rome, deposed, then banished to the town of Vienne in Dauphiny, and at length did slay himself. Agrippa the elder also, by him was cast into prison, albeit afterward he was restored. After the death of Tiberius succeeded Caligula, Claudius Nero, and Domitius Nero, which three were likewise scourges to the Senate and people of Rome. The first commanded himself to be worshipped as God and temples to be erected in his name, and used to sit in the temple among the gods, requiring his images to be set up in all temples and also in the temple of Jerusalem, which caused great disturbance among the Jews, and then began the abomination of desolation spoken of in the gospel to be set up in the holy place. His cruelty of disposition or else displeasure towards the Romans was such that he wished that all the people of Rome had but one neck, that he at his pleasure might destroy such a multitude. By this said Caligula, Herod of Antipas, the murderer of John the Baptist and condemner of Christ, was condemned to perpetual banishment, where he died miserably. Caiaphas also, who wickedly sat upon Christ, was the same time removed from the high priest's room, and Jonathan sat in his place. The raging fierceness of this Caligula had not ceased and had not been cut off by the hands of a tribune and other gentlemen who slew him in the fourth year of his reign, after whose death were found in his closet two small books, one called the Sword and the other the Dagger, in which books were contained the names of those senators and noblemen of Rome whom he had purposed to put to death. Beside the sword and dagger, there was found also a coffer wherein diverse kinds of poisons were kept in glasses and vessels for the purpose of destroying a wonderful number of people, which poisons afterward being thrown into the sea destroyed a great number of fish. But that which this Caligula had only conceived, the same did the other two which came after bring to pass, namely Claudius Nero, who reigned 13 years with no little cruelty, but especially the third of these Neros, called Domitius Nero, who succeeding after Claudius reigned 14 years with such fury and tyranny that he slew the most part of the senators and destroyed the whole order of knighthood in Rome. So prodigious a monster of nature was he, more like a beast, yea, rather than a devil than a man, that he seemed to be born to the destruction of men. Such was his wretched cruelty that he caused to be put to death his mother, his brother-in-law, his sister, his wife, and his instructors, Seneca and Lucan. Moreover, he commanded Rome to be set on fire in 12 places, and so continued it 6 days and 7 nights in burning, while that he, to see the example how Troy burns, sang the verses of Homer. And to avoid the infamy thereof, he laid the fault upon the Christian men and caused them to be persecuted. And so continued this miserable emperor till at last the Senate, proclaiming him a public enemy unto mankind, condemned him to be drawn through the city and to be whipped to death, for the fear of whereof he, flying the hands of his enemies in the night, fled to a manor of his servants in the country, where he was forced to slay himself, complaining that he had neither friend nor enemy left that would do so much for him. The Jews in the year 80, about 40 years after the Passion of Christ, were destroyed by Titus and Vespasian, his father, who succeeded after Nero in the empire, to the number of 1,100,000, beside those which Vespasian slew in subduing the country of Galilee. They were sold and sent into Egypt, and other provinces to vile slavery, to the number of 17,000. 2,000 were brought with Titus in his triumph, of whom part he gave to be devoured of the wild beasts, part otherwise most cruelly were slain. As I have set forth the justice of God upon these Roman persecutors, so now we declare their persecutions raised up against the people and servants of Christ. Within the space of 300 years, which persecutions in number commonly are counted to be 10, beside the persecutions first moved by the Jews in Jerusalem, as stated in the beginning opening chapters of Acts, my comment, beside the persecutions first moved by the Jews in Jerusalem and other places against the apostles. After the martyrdom of Stephen, suffered next James, the holy apostle of Christ and brother of John. When this James, said Clement, was brought to the tribunal seat, he that brought him and was the cause of his trouble, seeing him to be condemned, and that he should suffer death, was in such sort moved therewith in his heart and conscience that, as he went to the execution, he confessed himself also of his own accord to be a Christian. And so were they led forth together, where in the way he desired of James to forgive him, what he had done, and that James had a little pause with himself upon the matter. Turning to him, he saith, Peace be to thee, brother, and kissed him, and both were beheaded together in A.D. 36. Thomas preached to the Parthians, Medes, and Persians, also to the Carmanians, Hyrcanians, Bactrians, and Magians. He suffered in Calamina, a city of India, being slain with a dart. Simon, who was brother to Jude and to James the Younger, who were all the sons of Mary Cleophas and of Alphaeus, was bishop of Jerusalem. After James, and was crucified in a city of Egypt in the time of Trajan the emperor. Simon the apostle, called Cananus, and Zelotes, priest in Mauritania, in the country of Africa and in Britain. He was likewise crucified. Mark the evangelist and first bishop of Alexandria preached the gospel in Egypt, and there, drawn with ropes into the fire, was burnt, and afterwards buried in a place called there Bucolus, under the reign of Trajan the emperor. Bartholomew is said also to have preached to the Indians and to have translated the gospel of St. Matthew into their tongue. At last, in Albinopolis, a city of Greater Armenia, after divers persecutions, he was beaten down with staves, then crucified, and after being excoriated, he was beheaded. Of Andrew the apostle and brother to Peter, thus writeth Jerome, Andrew did preach in the year 80 of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Scythians and the Sogdians, to the Sachi, and in a city which is called Sebastopolis, where the Ethiopians do now inhabit. He was buried in Petraea, a city of Achaia, being crucified by Aegeus, the governor of the Edessenes. Bernard and St. Cyprian do make mention of the confession and martyrdom of this blessed apostle. We have partly out of these, partly out of other credible writers, we have collected after this manner. When Andrew, through his diligent preaching, had brought many to the faith of Christ, Aegeus the governor, knowing this, resorted to Petraea, to the intent he might constrain as many to believe Christ to be God, by the whole consent of the Senate, to do sacrifice unto the idols, and so give divine honors unto them. Andrew, thinking good at the beginning to resist the wicked counsel and the doings of Aegeus, went unto him, saying to this effect unto him, that it behooved him who was judge of men first to know his judge, which dwelleth in heaven, and then to worship him being known, and so in worshiping the true God, to revoke his mind from false gods and blind idols. These words spake Andrew to the proconsul. But Aegeus, greatly therewith discontented, demanded of him whether he was the same Andrew that did overthrow the temple of the gods, and persuade men to be of that superstitious sect which the Romans of late had commanded to be abolished and rejected. Andrew did plainly affirm that the princes of the Romans did not understand the truth, and that the Son of God, coming from heaven into the world for man's sake, had taught and declared how those idols, whom they so honor as gods, were not only gods, but also most cruel devils, enemies to mankind, teaching the people nothing else but that wherewith God is offended, and being offended, turneth away and regardeth them not. And so by the wicked service of the devil they do fall headlong into all wickedness. And after their departing, nothing remaineth unto them but their evil deeds. But the proconsul charged and commanded Andrew not to teach and preach such things any more, or if he did, he should be fastened to the cross with all speed. Andrew, abiding in his former mind very constant, answered thus concerning the punishment which he threatened. He would not have preached the honor and glory of the Christ if he had feared the death of the cross. He would not have preached the honor and glory of the cross if he had feared the death of the cross. Whereupon sentence of condemnation was pronounced, that Andrew, teaching and enterprising a new sect and taking away the religion of their gods, ought to be crucified. Andrew, going to the place and seeing afar off the cross prepared, did change neither countenance nor color, neither did his blood shrink, neither did he fail in his speech, his body fainted not, Neither was his mind molested, nor did his understanding fail him, as it is the manner of men to do. But out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth did speak, and fervent charity did appear in his words as kindled sparks. He said, O cross, most welcome and long looked for, with a willing mind, joyfully and desirously, I come to thee, being the scholar of him which did hang on thee, because I have always been thy lover, and have coveted to embrace thee. Matthew, otherwise named Levi, first of a publican, made an apostle, wrote his gospel to the Jews in the Hebrew tongue. After he had converted to the faith, Ethiopia and all of Egypt, Hyrcanus their king sent one to run him through with a spear. Philip, the holy apostle, after he had much labored among the barbarous nations in preaching the word of salvation to them, at length suffered in Hierapolis, a city of Phrygia, being there crucified and stoned to death, where also he was buried, and his daughters also with him. Of James, the brother of the Lord, we read, James took in hand to govern the church with the apostles, being counted of all men from the time of our Lord to be a just and perfect man. He drank no wine or any strong drink, neither did he eat any animal food. The razor never came upon his head. To him only it was lawful to enter into the holy place, for he was not clothed with woolen, but with linen only. And he used to enter into the temple alone, and there falling upon his knees, ask remission for the people, so that his knees, by oft kneeling, for worshiping God and craving forgiveness for the people, lost the sense of feeling, being benumbed and hardened like the knees of a camel. He was, for the excellency of his just life, called the just and the safeguard of the people. When many, therefore, of their chief men did believe, there was a tumult made of the Jews, scribes, and Pharisees, saying, There is danger, lest all the people should look for this Jesus as the Christ. Therefore they gathered themselves together and said to James, We beseech thee, restrain the people, for they believe in Jesus as though he were Christ. We pray thee, persuade all of them which come unto the feast of the Passover to think rightly of Jesus. For we all give heed to thee, and all the people do testify of thee that thou art just, and thou that dost not accept the person of any man. Therefore persuade the people that they be not deceived about Jesus. For all the people and we ourselves are ready to obey thee. Therefore stand upon the pinnacle of the temple, that thou mayest be seen above, and that thy words may be heard of all the people. For all the tribes with many Gentiles are come together for the Passover. And thus the forenamed scribes and Pharisees did set James upon the battlements of the temple, and they cried unto him, and said, Thou just man, whom we all ought to obey, this people is going astray after Jesus, which is crucified. And he answered with a loud voice, Why do you ask me of Jesus, the Son of Man? He sitteth on the right hand of the Most High, and shall come in the clouds of heaven. Whereupon many were persuaded and glorified God upon the witness of James, and said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Then the scribes and Pharisees said among themselves, We have done evil, that we have caused such a testimony of Jesus. Let us go up and throw him down, that others, being moved with fear, may deny that faith. And they cried out, saying, Oh, this just man also is seduced. Therefore they went up to throw down the just man. Yet he was not killed by the fall, but turning, fell upon his knees, saying, O Lord God, Father, I beseech thee to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they said among themselves, Let us stone the just man, James. And they took him to smite him with stones. But while they were smiting him with stones, the priest said to them, Leave off, what do ye? The just man prayeth for you. And one of those who were present, a fuller, took an instrument wherewith they did use to beat and purge cloth, and smote the just man on his head. And so he finished his testimony, and they buried him in the same place. He was a true witness for Christ to the Jews and the Gentiles. Now let us comprehend the persecutions raised by the Romans against the Christians in the primitive age of the church during the space of 300 years. Although I'm not going to cover that amount of reading. I'm just going to do the first century church after the death of Jesus. Wherein marvelous it is to see and read the numbers incredible of Christian innocents that were tormented and slain, whose kinds of punishments, although they were diverse, yet the manner of constancy in all these martyrs was one. And yet, notwithstanding the sharpness of these so many and sundry torments, and also the like cruelness of the tormentors, such was the number of these constant saints that suffered, or rather such was the power of the Lord in his saints, that as Jerome saith, there's no day in the whole year unto which the number of 5,000 martyrs cannot be ascribed, except only the first day of January. The first of the 10 persecutions was stirred up by Nero about the year of our Lord 84. The tyrannous rage of which the emperor was very fierce against the Christians, insomuch that, as Eusebius recordeth, a man might then see cities full of men's bodies, the old there lying together with the young, and the dead bodies of women cast out naked with all reverence of that sex in the open streets. Many there were of the Christians in those days who, seeing the filthy abominations and intolerable cruelty of Nero, thought that he was Antichrist. In this persecution, among many other saints, the blessed apostle Peter was condemned to death and crucified, as some do right at Rome, albeit some others, and not without cause, do doubt thereof. Hegesippus saith that Nero sought matter against Peter to put him to death, which when the people perceived, they entreated Peter with much ado that he would fly the city. Peter, through their importunity, at length persuaded, prepared himself to avoid, but coming to the gate, he saw the Lord Christ coming to meet him, to whom he worshipping, saying, Lord, whither dost thou go? To whom he answered and said, I am come again to be crucified. By this Peter, perceiving his suffering to be understood, returned back into the city. Jerome saith that he was crucified, his head being down and his feet upward, himself so requiring, because he was, he said, unworthy to be crucified after the same form and manners the Lord was. Paul the apostle, who was before was called Saul, after his great travail and unspeakable labors in promoting the gospel of Christ, suffered also in this first persecution against Nero. Abdias declareth that under to his execution Nero sent two of his esquires, Phrygia and Parthenius, to bring him word of his death. They coming to Paul, instructing the people, desired him to pray for them, that they might believe, who told him that shortly after they should believe and be baptized at his sepulchre. This done, the soldiers came and led him out of the city to the place of execution, where he, after his prayers made, gave his neck to the sword. The first persecution ceased under Vespasian, who gave some rest to the poor Christians, after whose reign was moved, not long after, the second persecution by the emperor Domitian, the brother of Titus. He, first beginning mildly and modestly, afterward did so far outrage and pride intolerable, that he commanded himself to be worshipped as God, and that images of gold and silver in his honor should be set up in the capital. In this persecution, John the Apostle and Evangelist was exiled by the said Domitian into Patmos. After the death of Domitian, he being slain, and his acts repealed by the Senate, John was released and came to Ephesus in the year 417, where he continued until the time of Trajan, and there governed the churches in Asia, where he also wrote his gospel, and so lived till the year after the Passion of our Lord, 68. Which is the year of his age, about 100.